Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
If political elites want to break the law willy-nilly, they will be held accountable for all the violence and blood and rioting.
This is really, really unprecedented. People on the streets are shouting against the Supreme Leader. It's actually illegal to do that. People are imprisoned for doing that.
Many of our government's hardworking, patriotic public servants have long been denied basic rights for one simple reason. The people that they love are of the same sex.
Albert hits good pitches hard and bad pitches even harder. When he gets in the batter's box, if you pray, then you start praying. And if you don't pray, you think about starting.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, I can already feel the excitement building. We are only days away from our one-year anniversary on June the 30th, Tuesday next week, celebrating with our listeners, but the excitement is already palpable. The floors are actually clean here at LPR Studios, which is very unusual. We have a couple guests in the control room with Jeff and Craig, Kurt and Greta Andrews from St. Louis, and they don't realize how nice this place looks compared to how it looked about a week ago. There are blinds in the windows, which is very nice. It used to just be covered with kind of a crude, contraption that Craig and I cobbled together the first week when the show was on. And so things are actually shaping up. We're hoping that our celebration of 1 year back on the air on Tuesday next week with our listeners will be everything we're hoping it will be. And as I said, already in advance of that, Greeks, perhaps not Greeks, but guests bearing gifts, bringing a little chalada in, nice and cold for the LPR refrigerator, Kurt and Greta Andrews from St. Louis. Very nice to have them in watching the first hour of the show today on this Friday afternoon, June the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first hour of Issues Etc., as usual, every Friday, listener email kicks it off. We'll have Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week with you. In the second hour of the program, we have three guests on tap. First, David Runyon Bareford will join us. He's executive director of a United Church of Christ reform group called Biblical Witness Fellowship. The General Synod of the United Church of Christ begins today in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They are out there. It's not only big tent churchmanship. In the United Church of Christ, you will find just about anything and everything. Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us a little later in that second hour. Today, the church is remembering Old Testament Saint Jeremiah. And then in the last half hour of the program, we're going to talk about that new report on who goes to megachurches. Scott Fuma of the Hartford Institute for Religion Research, part of the research group that did this new study, will join us to talk about the study itself. And then Michael Spencer of InternetMonk.com will tell us what it all means. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Or you can email us right here in the studio, and we'll read some of your email here in just a moment. talkback@issuesetc.org.
Not all of the floors are clean here at the International Center for Lutheran Public Radio. The bathroom floor has yet to have been scrubbed in more than a year now, because we came in, right before Memorial Day is when we moved into this fine
It wasn't
complex.
That clean when we moved in. I mean, the bathroom floor was none too clean when we moved in.
It's not much better now, let me tell you.
So
which one of us? Are we drawing straws? Who gets to scrub the floor?
Well, I got
on
this
Monday?
I've got a list sitting here on my table of all the things, all the jobs that we farmed out to one another, and I didn't see clean bathroom floors on my part of
there was clean office. It's just a general memorandum for
I've done my
the
part.
Office.
My part's been done.
All right.
So,
it's Craig or me, huh?
You could always ask Beth to do it.
I floated that one by. She didn't go for it. She didn't
all
go
right.
for it.
All I'm right. Not, I'm not asking my wife, so don't even suggest it.
Yeah, I don't even know what color it is anymore. It definitely has a greenish tint to it. That's all I can say.
Enough said.
Frank, here's an email. He said, on your online program today, I heard issues, etc., evangelical and Catholic. What do you mean by Catholic rights, Frank? Is this anything to do with the Roman Catholic Church? I hope not. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Frank.
Well, it's a great question, Frank, and it's a question that you should be asking. If you hear the word Catholic and it raises a red flag for you, then you need to ask that question. We use that term Catholic in precisely the same way that it has been used historically in the Western Church. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. I'm talking about the Western Church in general, including Reformation churches that have held firmly to the Nicene Creed, where it talks about the Holy Catholic Church, or in some translations, Holy Christian Church. But the word Catholic isn't a dirty word. We usually say small c Catholic. Catholic simply means what is believed and practiced by everyone, everywhere, at all times. Another translation might be universal, but that sounds kind of iffy nowadays. So we say Catholic, the classic word that means the faith once for all delivered to the saints, believed by all the church, everywhere at all times, the unchanging Christian faith. That's the definition we use. And it means historic. It means authentic. It means the real deal. It means the Christian church. So I hope I can clear that one up. Now, when Roman Catholics use that term, they use it as a term of art, which means they try and mean the same thing, but what it ends up meaning is Roman Catholic rather than Catholic in its true Christian sense. What's up?
Here's an email about objective justification from Albert in Irvine, California. He says, I'm studying this doctrine and trying to get my head around it. Part of the struggle I am having is putting together the idea of God being reconciled to all of humanity, while at the same time his wrath continuing to abide on them, for example, John 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Thank you for your ministry, writes Albert in Irvine, California.
What you're really struggling with there, Albert, is two biblical truths that must be believed, and we really can't attenuate, we can't compromise or try and mix the two. It might be, to some, a paradox, that is, two truths that appear to be in tension or in contradiction, but both of them are equally true. It really isn't a paradox in God, but it is a paradox from our perspective. From our perspective, how could God have entirely reconciled the world to himself and himself to the world in the blood of Jesus Christ, which Scripture unequivocally teaches he has done? He has reconciled the world to himself. How could he have done this and at the same time remain a God that is wrathful against unbelief and sin? From our perspective, it appears to be a paradox. But from God's perspective, it certainly is not. His wrath was spent upon his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, those who would step out from under the umbrella, if you will, of Jesus Christ that shields us from the wrath of God, then what happens when you step out from under an umbrella in a rainstorm? The wrath of God persists against a fallen world, sin, and unbelief. And it remains there, except if one is shielded by Jesus Christ, who has, in his shedding of blood, taken the full wrath of God in our place. But if you step out from under the umbrella, which is what unbelief is, you are asking for the wrath of God. And you will most certainly, if not here in time, in eternity, receive it. Now again, we can't psychologize God. It appears paradoxical to us. But God has no problem with it whatsoever, which tells us that the limitation exists not in God or in what God's word teaches, but in our ability to completely understand it and make it fit into our fallen reason.
Liz in Corona, California writes, I think there's a much bigger issue at stake surrounding the murder of Dr. George Tiller. What should Reformation Lutheran Church have done for the 20 years prior to his death, during which he was a church member and performing abortions? What is the church's responsibility? I am asking this in context of Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, and 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 through 5. Thank you, and God bless your ministry, and thank you for the email, Liz, in Corona, California.
All right, Liz, you're asking the right question. What should they have done? Reformation Church, Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. It is a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, And if they were worth their salt as a Christian congregation, if they were what they claimed to be, they should have called him to repent. And barring his repentance, they should have seen to it that he was disciplined according to the order of the church that Scripture lays out in the very passages that you just cited. That's what they should have done. That is what a previous congregation, a congregation he attended before that was a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, attempted to do before he left. But that is not what Reformation Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas did. They permitted him to continue in his sin unrepentant. Now, let me put it this way. George Tiller's no exception. What should any church worth its salt do with a sinner who continues unrepentant in his sin? That is, who refuses to repent and confess the sins that he or she commits. Exactly what they should have done with George Tiller. So I'm no different than George Tiller in that respect. If I am unrepentant of my sins, my congregation should do exactly the same to me. Call me to repent. And if I will not repent, as Scripture would direct them, then discipline me according to the very discipline that Christ has given to the church to exercise against unrepentant people who claim to be Christians. You got time for one more of that, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a quickie. Deborah in Dallas writes, this is regards to my comment about reality TV and Survivor Man versus Wild. Deborah said, I love Survivor Man too. You're right. Bear Grylls is a total fake. Les Stroud is the real thing, and I still watch his show in reruns.
Okay, now,
amen, Deborah.
Clear this one up for me. Les Stroud is the one who actually takes the cameras with him. He gets dropped off. He's there for a week. He's got to find his way to someplace, and it's just him and the camera.
Right.
And Bear is...
Bear has a camera crew who's probably handing him, you know, Nestle Crunch bars.
And you know that it's the camera crew because when he jumps off the cliff into the big pool of water to catch the fish in his teeth, right, they get four shots of it.
Right,
and exactly, probably three or four takes of it. You know, that reminds me, there's a good parallel there. I think of Issues Etc. as kind of the real Survivor Man of Christian radio. We don't operate with a net. We don't have a bunch of cameras all around doing it over and over again. It's just us, the gospel, and our listeners. Be right back. Wait a minute. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back, Richard Rice, Kara Quam, Margaret McKinnon, Paul Olowski, Rochelle Hecker, Deborah DeBoer, Gary Ost, John Winkler Sr., Dakota Trotter, and Bill Fannins. Thanks for your support.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
No giggling allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Here are some features of the Lutheran Study Bible. Almost 27,000 uniquely Lutheran study notes, more than 2,000 application notes and prayers for every part of the Bible, 120 full or half-page maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll even find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
think about what the consultants would have said to Noah. Hey, all this talk about wrath and flood and ark and judgment, you got to cut all that out. It's turning people off. So Noah could have had some sort of huge megachurch, and they would have all gone down with the flood.
What is driving the Iranian regime is a messianic vision to bring the Islamic Messiah in order to make Islam supreme throughout the world.
God hides himself in the cross. God hides himself in lowliness. He hides himself in weakness. People want to see God in glory. They'll go back and see the appearances of God in glory. See him at Mount Sinai. Terror, dread, death.
Kate and I have decided to separate.
Yes, we have decided that we will separate.
It's just not good for our kids for us to be arguing in front of our kids.
In just 20 minutes, we're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week with you. Four Issues Etc. soundbites from this week's audio. We'll play them for you, and you get to pick which one is the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week that's coming up in 20 minutes. Craig cannot contain himself. He has something he must say.
Two things, actually.
Yes.
I was talking to Jeff about this very same issue with Bear Grylls and Les Stroud. Isn't that his name, Stroud? And Jeff tells me that Beth thinks Bear Grylls, she likes his show better. I think he
thinks
said
he's cute.
That. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the word, cute. Yeah. I think that's why that turns Jeff off to Bear Grylls. So that's one. And number two, if Bear Grylls and Les Stroud were to go toe-to-toe, hands down, that Bear Grylls would, at the end of the day, win.
I agree. No, I agree. Bear Grylls, I mean, he's like a former, their version of a Navy SEAL or something, Great Britain's...
We're not saying he's a wimp.
No,
we're just saying the show's
the show, exactly. The show's fraud. It's not reality TV, as if there's such a thing as reality TV.
If you go around and, okay, what does he say? He says, every time I get a chance to eat, I have to eat. This deer or whatever's been dead on the ground for 2 days, the guy picks it up and cuts out something he can eat off of it. I'm going to watch that show. That guy wins hands down. Les, he wouldn't touch it. He'd rather go out and look for some bug to eat. Oh, let's go with the guy who eats the deer that's been on the ground for 3 days.
Well, you know, I will say that having watched Les more than the other guy, Les does seem to wither a lot. I mean, he gets to be about day three, and he's like laying underneath the palm fronds.
He's probably about 20 years old or 15, 20 years old.
That's true, but he's laying under the palm fronds shaking. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the night. And I think there's a little drama going on there at the same time. While he doesn't have a safety net, I think sometimes it's, I haven't slept for 4 days and –
But you look at Les, he doesn't work out, he doesn't exercise, he's like an average Joe, whereas Bear Grylls is doing stomach crunches on day 30 out in the Amazon wild or something, or hanging from a bamboo tree.
That's true, but which would the ladies rather watch?
Well, there's no doubt,
there's no doubt.
I mean, plus he's, Les Stroud keeps his clothes on more so than Bear does.
You know, and see, that's one technique in survival, at least my understanding is, you don't want to be taking off your shirt and prancing around and... showing off your abs. If you were out there and there was not a camera pointed at you, you'd keep your shirt on, I think.
I agree. Back to email.
Craig says he wouldn't.
You notice how, like, when Craig takes a mic, I'm like, I get thrown into this wall. He, like, bumps me out of the way because there's one mic Craig and I share. And I just, like, get to, whoops, just, like, go to the left.
You are, yeah, left. It's like the two Survivor men going against each other.
Yeah, my money's on Craig. Matt in Nebraska writes, I'm confused by Todd's legal/moral distinction having to do with whether it's justified to kill an abortionist. Is he saying that Christians are never allowed to forcibly resist state-sanctioned murder as long as it is technically legal? The National Socialist German government was legal. The legal members of government planned and implemented mass killing on millions of its citizens and citizens of other countries. It's not my intention to pull the Nazi card, but it's the best example. Additionally, would Christians have been right to passively resist a legal government through hiding or ministering to the state's potential victims, or even possibly helping victims to escape from dire situations? What about Maccabees? What about the Lutheran resistance to Emperor Charles V? What about Lutheran and Catholic Germans who took part in attempts to kill Hitler and take over the government, writes Matt in Nebraska.
It's not so much a distinction between legal and moral. It's a distinction between what you're raising is a question of within the bounds of what is technically legal. I'm not talking about moral, but technically legal under any given system of laws. Does the law require you to sin, or does the law enact this kind of, like in the case of the pogroms and the Holocaust, there were laws that permitted the government, permitted the government to take the lives, either literally or figuratively, put you in jail or kill you for no reason bearing upon any crime you had committed, merely because of who you were, what the color of your skin was, what your ethnicity was. All right. The abortion law, as immoral as it is not that kind of a law. It does not allow the government to exercise the power to execute. It, well, and it's a matter of degree here, it permits individual citizens to do that with children in their own wombs. That's why they call it the woman's right to choose. The government isn't forcing abortion. The government is not executing abortion. It is permitting abortion. It's permitting a great evil, but not requiring a great evil. Whereas, I think in the case of the legal basis, quote-unquote legal basis for what the Nazis or anyone else did in that vein, they weren't simply permitting, they were requiring that it be done. And they were acting, they were executing the death sentence themselves against those who were completely innocent. Now, that's the distinction there. But the point with regard to, and I think it's George Tiller's murder here, someone said, well, what if there are toddlers in the street, someone's lining them up to kill them, wouldn't you step in and intervene even forcibly? Well, of course I would. But there are also laws against doing that kind of a thing with toddlers in the street. And the terrible tragedy is that there is no law to protect the unborn if a woman wants to execute her own unborn child. There is no law protecting it. This is really a matter of trying to get laws in place that will protect the unborn, which is why I think it's a very wise thing to approach the Roe v. Wade thing, not only with the hopes of someday overturning Roe v. Wade, but in the meantime of trying in every legal way we can to protect the unborn. The law removes protection from the unborn. Now, that might be a too fine a distinction to deal with on radio, but I think it's a distinction that this is why we can say almost viscerally when George Tiller's murdered, the man who murdered him did something wrong and illegal and shouldn't have done it. That's not the way it should happen. But these kind of moral questions are important to ask and answer, because it's precisely because he got the wrong answer to that question that he took the gun into that church and killed George Tiller.
Mary has a question. Please explain Revelation 12, verse 17, and Revelation 14, 12. Someone I know is telling me I have to keep the covenant to belong to Jesus. Help, writes Mary.
Revelation 12, verse 17, you say?
And Revelation 14, verse 12.
All right, we'll start with 12, verse 17 to begin with. I hope this is the proper passage. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, and he stood at the sand of the sea. I assume the other passage has to do with those who keep the commandments of God also. Someone is telling you, you have to keep the commandments of God in order to be saved. You know what your response should be? Yes, I do, and I have to keep them perfectly. So how are you doing? Someone says, you need to keep the commandments of God, or you are no friend to Jesus. Your response should be, you're right. I don't keep the commandments of God. According to my obedience, I am not a friend to Jesus. Thank God he's a friend to me. How about you? Are you keeping them? And if they say yes, you need to do what Jesus did with that very attitude when he found it in the rich young ruler, who said, all these I have kept from my youth. And he gave him one that he hadn't kept and couldn't keep. Try keeping this one then. All of the commandments of God, if they are not kept from a pure heart 24/7, 365 days a year, from the moment of your conception until your natural death, you will perish eternally. That's what the law says, which is why what we need is someone to have kept it perfectly just in that way in our place. You see, the person who tries to assert that you need to add your obedience to Jesus' obedience in order to be saved is not saying so much about your obedience, is not downplaying your obedience. There's nothing to your obedience. What he's really calling into question is Jesus' obedience. Do you mean that Jesus' perfect obedience does not suffice to earn salvation for me? Is another good question if someone is trying to press your obedience over against Jesus's.
It's a clarification. We said kudos to the Nebraska district for passing a resolution in support of issues, etc. Robert in Fullerton, Nebraska, gives us some more facts about that resolution. He said the Nebraska District Resolution in support of issues, etc., passed by roughly 70-30%. Before this, it was also amended three times, each time in favor of strengthening the resolution. The First Amendment added in the second resolve that financial and other support should be given instead of just support. The Second Amendment changed the wording in the whereas sections that said issues not only had provided sound biblical and Lutheran teaching, but does provide this strong teaching. Finally, the last amendment added the third resolve that the Nebraska district expresses disappointment with the Synod for the show's cancellation. Each of these passed with a sizable majority, roughly the same, 70 to 30 as I recall. Several pastors and laypeople spoke in favor of the amendments and amended resolutions. One, a layperson from a church that is well known for its contemporary worship services, spoke highly of issues, etc., and encouraged its resolution. Only a few spoke against the resolution. Congratulations and keep up the good work. And thanks for giving us this report, Robert, in Fullerton, Nebraska.
Robert, thank you very much. Always nice to get the details of that kind of support being expressed by the congregations, in this case of the Nebraska district and their pastors as well. And there will always be a few who will speak against it. Part of the reason that we were gone for a while and came back and are now celebrating a year back on the air is because there were enough voices that were speaking against it in the right places for it to be canceled. But what it did was occasion not only the outpouring of support to bring us back, but also the continued outpouring of support from listeners and faithful congregations. And that's the reason we're celebrating 1 year back on the air. That kind of support, that kind of confidence in the gospel voice of issues, etc. When we come back, let's see, blog of the week, then soundbite of the week. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, June the 26th. Stay tuned.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's a new website in town. It provides social networking for teens and young adults. Developed by Indiana Right to Life, the site is dedicated to raising up a new generation of pro-life teens. They can discuss the issues, exchange ideas, and share multimedia. They want to advance positive and healthy alternatives to abortion. I know the people at Indiana Right to Life and have worked with them. I visited this new website and highly recommend it. I think you should direct teens and young adults to it. The address is teensforlife.com. This next generation will likely be the one to decide the impact abortion will have on the future of your grandchildren or children. We must provide them with a solid pro-life foundation. Teensforlife.com will help.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Bill and Ruth Helgemo, Rita McGough, David Lewis, Pastor Lee Stisser, William Rutherford, Matthew Bobby, Linda Yan, Mr. and Mrs. DeMonico, Mrs. Heron, and Jan Erickson. Thanks for your support.